Start with the set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your spiritual truth. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me to carry your message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we've been going through the book and we've got through step 10. And we're going to start step 11 and cover that tonight. Just a few thoughts. Something came to me today. I don't know if it's helpful, but I was working with someone and I see alcoholism as a picture, and it's a picture of a house that only has two rooms, and there's a wall between the two rooms and there's a door. And when I came in, I was in a room, and it was called Michael's World. And in that world, I ran it. And when I ran it, I had fear, anger, shame, and guilt, couldn't stop drinking and using. My life was a complete mess. Now, there was a room next door, and there was always a door there. But I never opened it to see what was in there. And when I came in, I got so desperate and so willing to change that I decided I was going to change, and I decided to open that door and see what was in there. And that room is God. That's the real world. And I didn't want to live in my world anymore. Can anybody relate to that? And so I want to open that door. Now, the only way that door opens is by taking the action. You have to grab the doorknob and you have to pull it. And that's steps 4 through 9. Steps 1, 2, and 3, just get you ready to open that doorknob. And then if you don't open it, you're still in that world. And you open that doorknob and you get into the world of the Spirit where God is, and He's running it. And then how do you stay there? Well, you use all the tools you got when you open that door to get in the room. And then you use those tools to stay there. And that's what 10, 11, and 12 are all about. Because we can go back, we can open that other door all the time. It's not locked. It would be great if it was locked, wouldn't it? Then I have to stay in with God all the time. That would be great. But no, it's always open. And we can go from one room to the other now in recovery. I've been recovered a long time. And recovered is when I'm in the right room. But I can slip into the other room for a while and I don't like it. And then I just say, God, take me back. And I go back into the other room. I learn the prayers, and I use steps 4 through 9. And step 4 tells us what we do in one paragraph to stay in that room, right? We watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. When they crop up, I say, God, remove them so I don't get back. They crop up. I open the door. I'm just getting ready to step into the other room. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. God, remove it. And then I talk to someone if I have to be able to see the truth of my thinking, and I make amends. And then I turn my thoughts to someone I can help. If I'm thinking of something besides me, I can stay in that other room. When I get obsessed with Michael, I start opening that door and drifting back. And it's a process. It's described actually in Scripture in Romans 7. That's what Paul's talking about, this battle between the spirit and the flesh all the time, the rest of our lives. But we have power now in the world of the spirit to stay there. We want to use that power. And it says, then we have these promises on page 84, 85, they call the 10-step promises, and we don't fight alcohol anymore. It's just been removed. And we have sanity towards life and our thinking. Anybody want that? Now, to get that, we have to get in the fit spiritual condition. So to open that door and get in that room, you have to get in fit spiritual condition. And then we're not talking about running a marathon every day. We're talking about doing enough to keep yourself in that condition to stay in the room, your connection with God. It's all about my conscious contact with God. And I have to work at it. How do I do it? I pray. Anybody pray? I pray all the time now. I inventory my thinking and see when it's wrong. And I meditate on God's will for me and the power to carry that out. And if you do that, you'll stay in the room. You won't drink. Now, your life doesn't get perfect because we still have our self-centeredness, but we don't have to stay in it. I thought that made a lot of sense. And so, and then it talks about we have a daily reprieve, and the reprieve is dependent on what I do every day to stay in contact with God. And if you're in recovery for a long time, John's got 38 years, and I've known him a long time. At 38 years, if you start slipping away, you don't know. At a certain time, right, we may want to drink, and we don't want to do that. So no matter how long you're sober, you still have to do the deal. And you have to do the deal. If the best thing you get if you're in the world of the Spirit, which I never had my whole life, is just peace. I could just feel okay. I used to feel okay when I could manage the world just right. And it would last a while, or I would achieve something, and everybody would think I'm great or something. But now I just want peace. Because if I'm in that world with God, I have His approval if I'm doing His work. And that's the deal. And so it says that at the end of 85, if we've carefully followed directions up to this point, I'm in the room with God, I begin to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. I can sense it. I can sense it. Can anybody else? I sense it. It's there. And to some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. And Jody made a really great observation in this discussion on Saturday when we discussed this, that we have the senses. We see, we hear, we smell. And when we lose one of them, the others become more developed. And we develop the sixth sense, the more we use it, the stronger it gets. And so it's something that gets stronger, this sense of God, the less I use my self-senses. Does that make sense? The more I'm out of self, the more God comes in. The more I'm working the steps, especially in 10, and following those directions, the more I sense God. And the more I trust and rely on Him, the more I sense Him. So my faith grows, the more when I pray, when I'm angry, somebody's doing something, irritating me, they're not doing something fast enough or something. I can't remember, I was someplace the other day, and I was just waiting in line. And then the lady says, "Well, I'm sorry, this is taking so long." And I said, "I'm retired, I have no place to go. Take more time." You get it? And I started to get a little antsy, and then I said, "Well, you know, it's just..." Have you ever put gas in your car and you think it takes a long time sometimes? If you just count the seconds, it's like 30 seconds or 60 seconds. It's not that long, but you go, "Boy, it's taking a long..." Maybe I'm the only one that's really ill here. But it's amazing how we develop the sense that I know God's there. I don't have to worry anymore. Isn't that good? Anybody else think that's good? I really don't. I have a choice on whether I have fear or not. Fear has become a choice for me. I can get angry. Angry's become a choice. I didn't have a choice before. I was just afraid or angry. But I have a choice now. And it's that sixth sense that's developed with God. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, that I don't get fear, I get anger, but I have tools that I don't have to stay there. And then it says, step 11, you want more action. You're beginning to sense the sixth step. So how do you get more conscious of God? It suggests prayer and medication. No, sorry. Wrong. That's a different program. Prayer and meditation. Yeah. We don't need medicine. We need God. Prayer and meditation. And I'm going to talk about what they thought meditation was. We shouldn't be shy on the matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works. if we have the proper attitude and work at it. Now, I will tell you, prayer works. And I pray a lot during the day. I talk to God a lot. I didn't used to, but I do now. And I have to have the proper attitude. What is the proper attitude? It's something a word we don't talk about much in AA, but I think is essential, humility. I have to stay humbled by my powerlessness. And how do you stay humbled? You stay connected to your first step, the pain. The pain of that moment of complete defeat. Does everybody still remember how bad it was? And the attitude of humility that I need God. And then if I work at the prayer, I have to do it. So it's an action step, step 11. It's actually seeking God all the time. And they talk about meditation. What they did for meditation is not have the chanting and the beads and the candles and all that stuff. They would meditate, they would take a verse of scripture and they would meditate on it. And then they would write out what they got from that, and they would share it. And they would meditate on God's will, their vision of God's will. They would meditate on how God wants them to be. And then they would share it. And so the meditation here is, we're gonna see the instructions. Now, they're going to give us some suggestions on prayer and meditation. And it's only 2 pages, which changed my life. Pages 84 to 88 have changed my life. It's how you live the spiritual life. It's not complicated. You don't have to pay $30,000 in treatment or go to therapy for a year. It's right here in 4 pages for me, I believe. It's worked for me. When we retire at night, so they start this whole business with nighttime. Why did they do that? I don't know. But the, in the Old Testament, the day started at night. And they want us to look at our day at night so when we wake up in the morning, we've dealt with the chaos of the day before. The idea is to keep that room clean from the garbage of my self-centeredness. We want that room with God to be spotless. It's not. And then we throw in stuff out all the time. I need to get rid of that. Our fears, our resentments, all the crap. Anybody get crap today? You had to have something. You're an alcoholic. And so you're going to constructively review your day. Notice the word constructed. Intended to be useful or of benefit. Now, it doesn't mean you constructively review how the guy at the noon meeting was a jerk and discuss it with someone. That's not helpful. Or at work, the person was so stupid and they shouldn't have done that wrong and look what they did to me. No, that's not constructive. You get it? We're reviewing my day, my thinking, and not them. It's just like the fourth step, right? And was I resentful? Did I get angry at anybody? Was I selfish? Was I self-centered about something that I wanted or needed and they weren't doing it fast enough? Did they not understand that I'm Michael the Magnificent? And how could they do this to me? Anybody else do that? We've got some magnificent people in this room. Dishonest. Did you lie? Were you dishonest about your motives? Did you do something and really you thought your motives were good, but they were really not? And I have to look at my motives all the time, be honest. What am I really trying to do here? Am I trying to be of service and helpful or not? Am I lying and am I afraid? Fear. Fear was the killer for me. My whole life I was full of fear. Why? Because I didn't think I was good enough. And I wanted to feel okay through approval from other people. Sounds good, doesn't it? So I wanted to be a doctor. I thought that would be good. People would think something of me. Now it worked out well because I think I was a pretty good doctor and I helped a lot of people and I enjoyed practicing medicine. But I didn't get the approval from it. It wasn't enough. You get it? It's never enough out there. So I was always afraid. Am I not going to get what I want? Am I not going to work out, get what I need? Anybody else have that? And I was afraid my whole life. I didn't realize it. It's like the kind of the water you swim in. You're uneasy. I was always a little uneasy, and it's always fear. And so what I get in when I'm in the room with God is I get ease and peace. Now, why don't I want to keep that? Well, that's $24 question, because we keep shifting away. We want to take control. We want to, I don't like this room. It's too good. I'm going to go in that room and get disturbed for a while. That's what we're really saying, but we do it subconsciously. And it said, so you look at your day. Where were you resentful? And some people write it out. I suggest that you keep this if you're new. By your bed, you read it every night. You look at it. And you may want to have a little sheet of paper. Where was I angry? Where was I self-centered? Where was I dishonest? What was I afraid of today? Doesn't have to be long. Just jot a few things down. Do I owe an apology? Did I say something I shouldn't have? Did I take an action I shouldn't have? Did I harm somebody in some way? Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with someone at once? And why? Why would I want to do that? Because I don't want to keep these things in my head, because the way I'm seeing them, they're not true. I've distorted the truth. And so I need to talk to someone, and they'll say, well, really, that's what you think? Is that what really happened? And within 60 seconds, you can make them see it differently. I couldn't see it differently, you know? And so you have to have somebody that you can talk to all the time. You can call them whatever you want, and it doesn't have to be the same person. But if you're in AA, you have to have some numbers, and you have to have people that you go and you discuss things with when you're really upset. Because when I keep something to myself, I give power to it. The more I stew about something, the bigger the problem becomes. You know, they say, Joe and Charlie, our resentments is like a replay machine. And we have some play that we didn't like. And the play's over, and the game of life is still on, and I'm back replaying that in my head. Does this make sense? Look what they did it. And something happened 8 o'clock in the morning. It's noon, I'm still stewing about it. And the game of life has moved on. And the other thing is, when I stew about it, they get worse. They don't get better. I get better, they get worse. And I think the guy said it so well in that acceptance is the answer, in the Dr. Paul. He said the more he saw the things wrong with his wife, and the more he told her, the worse she got. And then when he got in recovery, he realized that he changed the way he saw her, the better she was. And she hadn't changed at all. And so I have to change the way I see it, and I can't do it on my own. That's why we inventory with another person, right? So you're really doing step 4 again and 5 again at night. Was I kind and loving towards all? Why do they have that question? Because that's what we're supposed to be, kind and loving towards all. That's God's will for me. Was I kind and loving towards all? I hope so. If I wasn't, when wasn't I? And if I wasn't, it's because I was back in self. It's back in my self-centered character. Now, I used to wake up and go, before I go in the door of the hospital, I'd say, I'm going to be kind and loving to all. This is before I work the steps. And I maybe last an hour, 2 hours. You know, it's hard. It's hard, right? Because people do all these things that are wrong. It's so disturbing. And guess what? I was the only one that was upset. So I don't want to do that. I want to be in God. Is God kind and loving? I believe He is. And I want to be God's character. So if I'm not being kind and loving, And this speaker said, if I don't bring love into every situation, if I lack love, it's not going to work. And so I have to watch with God to be kind and loving. How do I know when I'm not being kind and loving? I don't feel good. I'm upset. Who tells me not to be kind and loving? I do. good job, Michael. Because I move into that other room. It's just that door just whoosh. And I say, and the thing is, when you learn the tools, you can get back with God pretty quickly. You can be upset, and within 10 seconds, you could say, this is ridiculous, God. Just change the way I feel. Calm me down. Settle me down. It works. I can't explain it. It works. Kind and loving. Don't notice they didn't say most of the time. They say towards all. Even the people you don't like. They're people you don't like. Be kind and loving to them. You don't have to be mean to them. We don't have to like everybody. Some people have characteristics. They don't like them. Some people don't like me. It's okay. Have a party. But that you still have to treat them kind and loving. Somebody said, love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that somewhere? I mean, we have to, and what did he say? He said, I want you to love each other as I've loved you. And that's how we're supposed to be. So if I'm kind and loving, then I'm with God. If I'm not, I'm not. What could I have done better? That's another thing. Did you do something that you upset you during the day? What should I have done better? Maybe I shouldn't have sent the text. I shouldn't have said anything. And I shouldn't have reacted this way. And you can see how you were separating yourself from God. And you might want to write it down, talk to somebody the next day. Were you thinking of yourself most of the time? What a ridiculous question. Of course not. Well, I used to think of myself all the time. And I didn't even realize it. Anybody else do that? Now, I find that if I start drifting into worry or something, I have to turn my thoughts away from me to someone I can help. Get out of self, Michael. And I don't want to stay that way. Or what you're thinking of yourself, or were you thinking of what you could do for others? One choice, thinking of yourself or thinking of others. What is our real purpose in AA? It says it on page 77. To maximally fit ourselves to be of service to God and others. That's what we're supposed to do. And it says, was I thinking of what I could do for others or of what I could pack into the stream of life? So we come here from self-centered, the self-centered room, to living in the God room where we want to serve others and be of service to God and kind and loving to all and not think of ourselves all the time. What do you think would work better for your life if you're new? What works better for me today? This works. But I have to do it all the time. We have a daily reprieve from this based on doing this. Don't do it, then you just stay disturbed. So people are always saying, I hope you have a good day. It's ridiculous. I'm the only person who can ruin my day. All my days should be good. I'm with God. He'll help me handle any situation. I don't have to be disturbed. I don't have to have good or bad. It just is. And with the program, things are just situations, not problems anymore. And then how do I react to the situation? Now, if I'm with God, I'll react differently than if I'm with Michael. And I'll be kind and loving in each situation if I'm with God. If I'm with me, have a party. It says, but we must be careful not to drift. Notice the words they use. Pack in the stream of life. Drift. I don't want to drift. I'm drifting into worry. Anybody do that? We do it all the time. I don't want to drift into worry, remorse. I have remorse or morbid reflection. That's really bad. So when I'm thinking of my day at night, I'm trying to answer these questions, but I don't want to drift back into this self-pity, into fear and all that. I want to stay connected to God. So it says that would diminish our usefulness to others. And so we want to stay away from that. We're trying to do a constructive review. We don't want to drift into a destructive review. Does that make sense? And after making our review, what do? I pray. I ask God's forgiveness. And then here's the key. I inquire from God what corrective measures should be taken to do what? Stay in that room with Him. Stay on the path. Stay in the world of the Spirit. Stay out of self. See how powerful that is? I say, God, forgiveness. So whatever crap I do today, tonight I'm going to say, God, forgive me. And I know he will. And inquire what corrective measures should be taken. That means I'm going to meditate and inquire from him what corrective measures. And then go to sleep and see in the morning if you don't feel better when you wake up. Try it. Now, you shouldn't do this so you feel worse. You're doing this to be constructive, to get closer to God. And see if it's helpful. I don't answer the questions and do it in great detail anymore. Because I really feel mostly undisturbed most of the time. And at night, I can take a quick review of what should I have done different? How could I have been more helpful? Was I thinking of myself? Should I have turned my thoughts to others? Was I being selfish? See, and it doesn't take long. And I ask God's forgiveness, because we're not perfect, right? And then I inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And I ask him, God, what corrective measures should I take? And then I don't answer that. I say, God, give me this knowledge of your will for me, right? And the power to carry it out. That's what the step 11 is, right? We saw it through prayer and meditation, improve my conscious contact with God. Knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry this out. So God, give me knowledge of your will for me and the power to carry that out. Help me. See if it doesn't work. See if it doesn't help your life. And then the problems from today should be gone. You've given them to God and they're gone. If you have a God box and you still have something you're worried about, put it in the God box and go to sleep. Because guess what? When you wake up, that day is over. And you have a new day. And you don't want to carry the crap into the new day. Now, that's what we did in AA, in our alcoholic lives, and that's what we inventory in step 4, is all the crap we've been carrying around in our head. Now, if I want God to direct my life, anybody want that? Then when I wake up tomorrow, I don't want all this crap in my head that God can't get through to direct me. And so we want to clean our garage every day. We don't want to keep putting more boxes in there. Then we can't get the car in there. Then one day you go open the garage, you can't get the car in there. You say, how'd that happen? And so that's really important to do this. It's a daily practice of this inventorying at night, looking at your self-centeredness. If you're new, you get someone, you talk to them every day, you discuss what's going on. And then you go through the book and you start working the steps formally. But I ask people to call me and tell me what they worried about during the day or what they were angry about. And keep a little card, just a little card, and write it down. It's usually the same people or the same things, or you worry about the same things, right? This isn't nuclear physics. This is just, you know, the way we are. So I'm going to stop there. I hope it was helpful. I love those pages. They've saved my life. Thank you.